you, Murray. Thank you very much. You can hear me, can't you? I have unmuted. Yeah, that's fine. Well, this was one of those weeks where I wasn't quite sure what I was going to preach about. It happens sometimes, and sometimes you know, and the week can go on and you're not 100% sure. But this was a week that I wasn't sure. And then Murray said, well, it's Pentecost Sunday. And just seeing Joanna on screen there, she's often reminded me that it's Pentecost Sunday in the past. But I'm not very good with the church year, because I tend to think that we want to preach about the Holy Spirit far more often than just bring him out and dust him down on Pentecost Sunday, which is what many churches sadly do. And then Lynn reminded me that something else as well. So and with something that Tony mentioned last week, he picked up that verse that I preached on last week about our eternal destiny, about hope, from 2 Corinthians 5:5. For God has made his children, this was from the Message, from the Truth version as well. God has made his children for this very reason, for eternity, and gives the Holy Spirit the down payment, guarantee of our future destiny, which is a great verse. It's a verse, actually, that is, Tony found that a useful verse last week, but it's a verse that Paul has already said it right at the beginning of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 22, he's repeating the same truth. And he says, he, that is God, has set his seal of ownership on us and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. He has set his seal of ownership on us. So this is another work of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God within us, through faith, is God's guarantee, God's down payment. It's his seal of ownership of us. It's like an engagement ring. You know, we treat engagement rings lightly sometimes, and people say, oh, well, I stopped that engagement and started another one. God keeps his promises. If he says he's going to do something for us, he does it. All God's promises are yes and amen, and they're renewed every day. God's guarantee, God's down payment, God's spirit in us is like his engagement ring on us. We are his. His promise of our future hope and our security. We talked about this last week. All part of the work of the Holy Spirit. Through faith in Jesus, God's spirit is now within us. He's within us. He's not ethereally somewhere. He's within us, which is so encouraging. And you see, I just said, God keeps the promises that he makes to us, which I love. If God's spirit is in you, then you're secure for eternity. Then I feel safe and secure in the promises of God. Don't you? Oh, we're going to say smile, some of you, because otherwise I'm not sure that, so hard on Zoom, you know, I can normally pick you out in a church meeting, but just nod at me or do something, because you wonder if I'm just talking to an empty screen there for a minute. So there we are. That's me telling you all off again. But nod or don't do the other way if you have to. I don't mind. But it's really good to know that this is the truth of God, that he promises to be with us now and for eternity. That is the guarantee of eternity. God's spirit within us, keeping us safe until we get the full blessings of eternity. And Jesus announced John 14 verses, promised that even as he was with his disciples, he wouldn't leave them alone. He was with them in person, but he wouldn't leave them alone. And he says, verse 16, listen, of John 14, and I will send another one. And we understand that in the Greek, to understand one of exactly of the same kind, of the divine nature, another one just like Jesus has divine nature. I will send another. I will ask the Father to send another. It's interesting, another of the same kind. So the Holy Spirit, we must understand, is not some sort of vague force, but is another like Jesus. Another like Jesus with that divine nature. And it's interesting, isn't it, that in often we read at Christmas that Isaiah 9 talks about Jesus as the wonderful counselor. It's one of his titles, wonderful counselor. And here the Holy Spirit is also given the title of the counselor. Counselor. So they are linked even right back to the time of Isaiah. Wonderful counselor is the title given for the forthcoming Messiah, for Jesus. And Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the counselor. Jesus says, I am. In other words, he is the way. He is God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Spirit is described in verse 16 and 17 as the Spirit of truth. They are all combined together. There's been terrible heresy in the church over the years that God the Holy Spirit is a lesser being than God the Father or God the Son. And in fact, that's in fact what Jehovah's Witnesses believe now. And right up, that's why we have the creed that we had this morning, because for the very reason to say, no, we believe that Jesus is God's Son. He is one in essence, one in divine nature with the Father. And what Jesus is saying is, so is the Holy Spirit. And that's what these verses are saying. And anything less discredits God. It's hard to get your head around it, but we need to hold on to what is actually, in a world where there's misinformation, the truth of what we believe. Amen? So he's wonderful counselor. And Jesus says that Jesus, is with them right there and then. But the Holy Spirit will be in you. That Jesus could only be in one place at a time in his earthly ministry. But the Holy Spirit, to use a theological word, is omnipresent. There we are, Mari. You didn't think I'd bring an omnipresent in this morning. It means he can be in all places at the same time. So that Jesus was with his disciples, with the 12, close by. But the Holy Spirit says, when I've gone and the Holy Spirit comes, he will be with you all across the world. That is why all the different nations are there on the day of Pentecost, hearing and being filled with this same Spirit who speaks multiple languages as well, who's the Spirit of every generation, of every person. But he's God's Spirit within us. God, the Holy Spirit, that down payment, guaranteeing what's to come. And his role will be to guide you into the truth, to comfort you, to encourage you, to help you, to support you, and to strengthen you. All within us. I'm going to come on to that a little bit later on. What I want to say, though, that Jesus was so concerned for the disciples and for you and I, that this be a reality, this eternal down payment from God. That what does he do on that resurrection day when he goes into that upper room? The disciples are there and he breathes on them. He breathes on them the breath of God, because he is God the Son. He breathes on them as God in Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, breathed into Adam. And he became a living soul, the breath of life, the ruah of the Spirit is described as the breath of God, the ruah of God, breathed into them. And that's exactly what Jesus does. He breathes in, and as he breathes on them, they breathe in the breath of new life. So the major work, the first work that the Holy Spirit does is he, through faith, causes their spirits to come alive. Through faith in him, he dwells in us, our spirits are reborn, and we are enabled to inhabit heaven in the future and right now, because heaven starts right there and then. Eternal life doesn't start down there. It starts right the moment I accept Christ into my life. Amen. So he breathed on the disciples, received the Holy Spirit. And then he tells them, this is where I'm going to stop, that that's the internal part, God breathing into our hearts, into our souls, into our spirits, his new life, his spirit dwelling in us. But he tells them to wait because there's so much more. How much more will I give the Holy Spirit to those who wait, to those who ask? He tells them to wait in Jerusalem. Then on another appearance, wait in Jerusalem until they are clothed with power from on high. But more about that after the break.
Yeah, so I've chosen an old hymn, but it's set to a reflective tune. So I hope it's helps you as you reflect on what we've just listened to from Brian. Thank you, Tony.
Well, sort of part two, really, because you see that the Holy Spirit works in so many different ways. And what we celebrate today is not the rebirth part. We should really be celebrating that as we do at Easter. But today, the Holy Spirit coming in power. That as Jesus breathed on his disciples in Acts chapter 20, that's an internal working of the Spirit, if you like. But what occurs today is a different work of the Holy Spirit. Luke 24 verse 49 says, stay in the city until you've been clothed, covered from power from on high. Stay in the city until you've been clothed, covered with power from on high. In other words, so you've been clothed with the Holy Spirit. Now, when I put this jacket on, I won't do it in a minute. There we are, this old jacket of mine. I don't put it inside me, do I? Well, I'm not shoving it in. It's not an internal thing. It's an external thing. It covers me. It gives me warmth. It gives me protection. It gives me an extra help that I might need. I lived on for a minute. And this is what, it's a different words, clothed and covered. It's a different working of the Holy Spirit. Jesus repeats this. Have we got some more readings, Mari? Acts. Can we have the reading now? Would that be possible? Thank you.
Yeah, okay. We've got Acts 1, verses 4 to 8. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And then Acts 2:1-4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them.
Thank you. Thank you, Teresa, so much. That's really helpful. Jesus then repeats this whole idea of being clothed, being covered, but uses another illustration, and he talks about baptism. And he says that you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit and with power. So you will be baptized, not in water, where I think Christians have got confused. I don't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit as I'm baptized in water. I do that to symbolize that I've been born again of God's Spirit. I'm baptized. I'm immersed in water. You don't swallow it. You know, it's an external thing. It's a washing. It's a cleansing. Even though it's an outward sign of an inward grace within us, baptism is an external thing, just like putting on this jacket is. That Jesus says you will, in a few days, be baptized with the Holy Spirit. This is a different experience, and sometimes the church has got so confused with this as the truth. So we're so indebted, really, to the early Pentecostals who were rebuked and reviled by many, many people, who realised that there was more than one working of the Holy Spirit here, and this whole area being lost from the church. But I'll come on to that at the end, really. You see, as believers, I know personally, as a believer in Jesus, I need much more than human effort or human power to be successful, to be able to live the Christian life, let alone be a witness for Jesus. What Jesus is offering the disciples, said is coming your way, is the same power that he operated in his earthly ministry. The power of the Spirit of God that caused everything to fall into place. In other words, he operated in heaven's power, not worldly power. And we need that power as well. That he's saying that you can have this power. You will receive this power. Different from your salvation power, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Power what for? Not for salvation, but power for service. Power to serve him. Power to live the life for Jesus. And power to be his witnesses all around the world. That near and far, how we're effective reaching others. And that is why we've seen such historical evidence since the revival of this blessing of a baptism in the Holy Spirit in this last 100-odd years since the Welsh Revival and the Azusa Street in America, these great revivals of the past, how those streams of the church have grown way beyond any other streams because they are now operating not in their own strength but in the power of the Holy Spirit. All right, when I say, Lord, I can't do this, I need your Spirit's help. He always gives. I said that recently, even this week. Lord, I don't think I can do this. He said, but always God gives us the power. Amen. He always comes to comfort, to strengthen, to guide, to direct. And you've heard me talk about this so many times, but I will repeat it to you. The Amplified Version of the Bible says that when it talks about power, and that word from the Greek literally means dynamite, you will receive the dynamite, the power, the blast of the Holy Spirit. But it translates that word power as ability, efficiency, and might with the Holy Spirit baptism. You will receive ability to serve God and efficiency and might. We will be productive and fruitful as we allow the Spirit of God. And whereas I'm born again but once, I can be filled again and clothed again ongoingly. So it's an ongoing receiving from God. But important that John scripture and the scripture in Luke and the scripture in Acts 1 there, Jesus tells the disciples to wait for this gift from heaven. To wait. So that when the day of Pentecost comes, what do we read? They had waited. They hadn't gone fishing. They hadn't dispersed off to their various religions. They were all together in one place. So it's important that we come together, because it's there as we are together. The Spirit comes on us individually, but to make us one. It's the Spirit that enables us. It's the Spirit that binds us together. It's the Spirit that causes us to be church together as well. It's not a matter of my human effort. I want to join with you. The Spirit of God. Who would join such a diverse group of people even as we are? Only the Spirit of God does that. For the glory of God. When they came together, then they were all in one place and with one heart, waiting on God. Those old Pentecostals used to call meetings like this tarrying meetings. In other words, we tarry, we wait for God. We won't just rush off, and we notice that in the ministry of Jesus. He didn't just rush off and do his own thing. Even when Lazarus died, he waited. He tarried. He only did that which the Father was telling him to do. He operated in the power of the Spirit, in the power of heaven. So when the Spirit comes on that day of Pentecost, what do we see? What is our promise fulfilled on that day of Pentecost? Weak, timid disciples are changed. Weak disciples who've hidden away, who behind locked doors, who aren't world changers, they're just wimps, really, hiding. And wimps are turned by the power of God into giants. Wimps are turned into giants. I like that. Because Brian's a wimp. I know I'm a wimp. But actually, with the power of God, I'm a giant. And we're able to be giants by that enabling of the Holy Spirit. I remember such a change happened to me. I got saved, and that was dramatic. And then a few months later, somebody prayed for me, laid their hands on me, for me to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And something dramatic happened. People said, "You've changed." Yeah, I have changed. Jesus was so real. And I just wanted others to know this joy that I was receiving as well. One or two people thought I'd gone slightly, you know, but I probably had. A friend used to call me Jesus Loopy. I take that as a badge of honour, actually. But what happened on that day of Pentecost? Not only was released power into the disciples, but signs and miracles and wonders followed the witnessing of the disciples. As they went around the world, there were healings, there were prophecies, there were pictures and signs and wonders that occurred. And those signs and wonders will follow those who are filled with the Spirit of God, who are filled with more of Jesus. And as I look around the church so often, sadly, and I'm not thinking about our church, but as I look around so often, so I look at our brothers and sisters across the pond even, I see a church desperately in need. Of the truth that we cannot operate in human wisdom and human power, but to be filled with God's power. We need that Pentecostal power again, not just to sing about it, but to be open to receive it, to tarry and to wait. And lastly then, because God is God, the Holy Spirit is God. I make no thing for saying that. We go, "Oh, awkward. Who am I talking to?" You know, when I pray, I pray to Jesus, and I pray to the Spirit, and I pray to the Father. But it's always actually we're praying to God, one God, three persons, and it blows my head, and I get all confused sometimes, and we all get all awfully confused. But God doesn't change, and we've got all eternity to work out how it all works, if we ever will be able to. But if we won't, because He's God. Because the Holy Spirit is God, He cannot change. As Jesus said, "I'm the same yesterday," or rather, it was said of Jesus, "the same yesterday, today, and forever." So the Holy Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if the Holy Spirit then changed weak people into strong people, wimps into giants, hide us away from the authorities into bold proclaimers of the truth. That same Holy Spirit then is still available for you and me today. as he wants us to witness to the risen Jesus in heaven's power. You know, we need to plug into the power of heaven. We need to plug in to the power of the Holy Spirit, because we all need, don't you need, and I need, that fresh ability, that fresh efficiency, and that fresh might that only the Spirit of God gives us. So I'm going to encourage us to wait, and we need perhaps to do that in your own life this week, to stop, to ask Lord for more of you, more power, more Lord, more of you, to wait and to ask, to be baptized afresh, to be immersed, to be filled afresh. There are just picture words, you know, none of them can be pushed past the limit of that, but to be re-baptized in the Holy Spirit's power. When we come together, that's what's important for together. We need to be open, brothers and sisters, and expect of a mighty outpouring from God. If we come with the right hearts, we will do. And I want to tell you, I believe in the days ahead, we should be open and expectant as Merton Baptist Church as well. To be open that God will bring that renewal, that revival, that power pouring out, so that it will flow out from the church into the surrounding areas in the days ahead. And but what our part is to say, Lord, I want that. I need to be effective for you. And I know that that's, and some of us have had that experience, but it's not a past experience only. Have you still, oh, am I still living in that? Not as much as others. So I need to say, I need more. Fill me, clothe me afresh. Garments of salvation, that we might bring garments of salvation to others. So Lord, right now, let's pray. Close your hearts. Don't close your hearts, open your hearts, but let's just close our eyes and ask the Spirit of God, wherever you are now, we're all together in one place, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, come and fill us afresh with that power. We pray that mighty miracles will take place, not in human strength, but in Holy Spirit power. Spirit of God, will you come and make Jesus more real to us than he's ever been before? Will you help us also to realise that your Spirit within us is that down payment, the assurance that we're safe and secure in your hands, and that we have a destiny, we have a future, and it's all in you. We're safe and secure in you. So Lord, we pray for that assurance might be in the hearts of many others. So we pray for outpouring of the Spirit. But right now, if you need the Spirit of God on to come upon you, I know I do, why not lift your hand to him and say, Lord, I need more of you. Right now, power of heaven, come. Come down. Come down. Come down, Lord, we pray. And touch each soul who's responding to you now. I need you, Lord. We need you. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, keep pushing in, we pray. Dismantle those little barriers we put in the way. Come, Holy Spirit. More of you, Lord. More of you. More of you. More of you. They were all in one place, all with one heart, waiting for the promise of the Father that Jesus had spoken forth. We receive from you right now, Lord. We pray and thank you. And we say even more in the days ahead, we ask for your glory, for your kingdom's sake, for your name. Be glorified Merston and Redhill and Surrey and south of England and England and Europe and to the ends of the earth, we pray. May there be a mighty, mighty harvest of those who declare that Jesus is Lord in the power of the Spirit to the glory of God the Father. Amen.